This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
All aboard! You're on the crazy train!
Welcome to the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Hey, good morning, folks. If you're on the road, I hope you're driving slower than normal because those highways are slick and slippery. Side streets, main streets, freeways, you name it. Yep, they got ice on them, so be careful, folks. This is the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. I'm Tom Neubauer. He's Dan Bush. Sam Schmitz is on the boards today. We all made it in today, safe and sound, thank goodness, because we're here for the next 2 hours. Yeah, as usual on a Saturday morning, we're here for the next 2 hours talking about fishing, hunting, and other kind of goofy, crazy stuff. But if you want to join us during the show, all you got to do is give us a buzz at 414-799-1250. That's 799-1250. Or you can email us live at the Smokey's inbox at CEOguys@yahoo.com. That's CEOguys@yahoo.com. Well, Danny, I was just talking to the people about side streets, main streets, freeways. They're all slippery. So take heed, take caution, slow down. Don't be a statistic, you know. So, and we all had our fun this morning coming in.
I took
all three of us.
I took it real slow.
Yep, me
then
too.
When I saw the flashing lights up ahead where 94 eastbound hits, I guess, 45
yep.
there south,
yep.
I decided to take Highway 100 south instead because I could see all the flashing lights up there mm-hmm. on that big bridge overpass, you know, kind of the turn there
yep.
where you had... Right where I figured it would be risky.
I bet
risky.
You those overpasses are really slipping on
yeah.
those big ones up high.
Well, the thing is there's the salt trucks are out on, of course, they've on the highways, but you still got to watch it. And I've got a pretty good vehicle, but I've got, you know, there's little, probably two-wheel, rear-wheel drive, small little cars racing by me, going 20 miles an hour faster than I am. And they don't realize it takes about a fraction of a second, and next thing you know, you're totally out of control.
Yeah, you're spinning like a Jewish dreidel.
What? I hope that wasn't racist. What's a dreidel?
It's a little top. It's a six-sided top, I think it is. A six-sided top.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that, I don't know.
It's like something you like spin around with at like the holidays.
Like a top. Yeah, the Jewish kids, they give that as a gift.
You give them a dreidel?
A dreidel. Yeah. It's something. It's got some kind of significance from way back when, you know.
Is that
but it's
like
a little six-sided top.
Did Moses bring a dreidel down?
They might have had them back then. I don't know. Maybe. Who knows?
Now you got me fascinated. You know, the one good thing about doing this show with you, Tom, is I've become greatly, greatly learned. My knowledge is just leaping. Going by leaps and bounds.
Oh, goodness.
So
I wonder if anybody's ice fishing. I mean, I don't know about today. I mean, I'm just saying. I haven't checked lakes. What about out by you, by beautiful Pewaukee Lake? How's the ice out there? Do you know?
I don't know. I haven't been out there. It's right where I live. I'm looking out there, and it's like nobody's out there at all.
No.
And it's like all, you know, water on top of the ice and stuff.
Right.
And
so,
I don't think anybody's.
Oh, that's right. We've had some nice days this last week that were pretty darn nice. Yeah, I suppose we got to wait, you know.
let's just wait till we can pull the boat out. How about that?
Yeah. Well, that's that. Hey, I'm with you there. I'm not big into the hard water fishing.
Actually, though, I speak tongue in cheek. For our listeners out there, from now, pretty much most every Saturday for the next till the end of February, you can find some great fisheries at a lot of the local lakes, hosted by local fine establishments, and there are a lot of the fishing clubs and so forth.
Yeah,
they're fundraisers. The money goes to good causes, and they're a lot of fun whether you fish or not.
Right. So yeah, you don't have to fish.
So, like Pewaukee Lake, I know the walleye Lunkers, I think, is going to have theirs on the 18th. Walleyes for Tomorrow, our Pewaukee chapter, they'll be having one. Well, you know, the show will go on whether you fish or not, because they've got all those great raffle prizes. So if you just go in and buy a ticket, you know, even though, you know, I'd say the majority of people who buy those tickets, sure, that gets you into the fishery where you can fish, but the majority of the people don't fish, and they just go in and hope to become a lucky wiener and win, like, you know, five. Most of those places have like 500, 300, something like 4 or 5 to 100, and then a bunch of prizes, and then if you're like the 50th guy called, you get a great $2 ice fishing jig rod. I've always been the jig rod winning schmo, as opposed to the $500 winner guy.
Well,
I told you last year how there was one of the fisheries, and somebody went up, and I saw him throwing a bunch of tickets right at the end, and then there were a couple older guys there by the basket, and I don't think they spun the basket, because they called the name, and the one guy won 800, and then they called the same guy's name, and he won like 500, and then I saw the guy kind of looking around, he's like, oh, and then he started throwing the basket, and so basically they had a little kid reach in right up on top, right where the previous person threw all their tickets.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, you gotta spin
You gotta spin the basket. Yeah. So but yeah, support the causes out there. And speaking of win, you know, I can't complain. Years ago, you and I were at our friend Dan Johnson took us SCI, we're at the banquet. You, I, and John. Remember out at the Olympia?
Okay.
In Oconomowoc? Okay. What do you mean? You're saying okay like you don't remember.
I don't.
Oh, come on. What's the matter? How can you forget that?
I don't know. I don't remember it.
I mean, all those concussions you had.
I remember. Oh, no.
Those football hard knocks.
Anyway, remind me of it. What did we win?
What's your name again?
Did we win anything?
We didn't win anything, knob. You guys left. And it was about 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, man.
And they had the gun boards. And I had spent like $40 on gun. And so it was the final gun board. And I'm sitting all by myself, thanks to you guys leaving me. And I'm thinking to myself, I really wish I could go home right now. I want to get to bed and get ready for the show. Mm-hmm. It's a Friday night. And there were two guns left. There was like a Henry 22 and a Ruger Mini Ranch on one of the gun boards. And you always go and look at the gun boards first. So if you are lucky enough to get your name called, you don't want to go up there and be hee-hawing around deciding which one you want to get.
Yeah.
And fortunately, I've got kind of a knowledge in my head of which ones are worth more, you know, as well, which is more valuable and kind of what I want. So I know in advance if I win, I'd get this, that one. And sure enough, that mini ranch, and I got up there and won my mini ranch rifle.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah, those things listed about 1,000. They're still going for
really?
$800.
Really? That much?
From the manufacturer suggested, knew they're going $800 still.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a nice firearm. In fact, I did get the trigger spring on it. Our listener was listening.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it worked great. On my trigger gauge, it now pulls at 4.5 pounds. But more importantly, when you just bring it on up and put it on a target and squeeze, it just breaks. It seems even less than what it's measuring.
Yeah,
there's more to a trigger than just trigger pull.
Yeah,
it's hard to explain, but you know, there's supposed to be single stage triggers, double stage. Double stage is where it kind of, I believe, is where it kind of depresses a little bit, then kind of gets firm and hits the second stage where it's ready to break.
At least
that's my limited understanding. But then sometimes you have a trigger that's just like like the mini ranch. It was just gritty. It was just stiff and gritty, and you had to squeeze forever. And I'm thinking, off if I was shooting at a coyote standing offhand at 100 yards with my heart pounding, you know, it might be hard to get a clean break on it, but now it's just nice. It just breaks real, real good. So I would highly suggest getting that trigger. It's a company called M Carbo, M and then C-A-R-B-O. And it's a company that's involved with firearms, and it's down in Florida. So if you just Google M Carbo, it's some ex-military guy, and they support Second Amendments and cops and military families and so forth. So yeah, good company, and you can order that little spring for $15. If you're smart enough, you can try and figure how to put it in yourself. There's a YouTube video. Maybe. If you're a dummy like me, you pay somebody to put that spring in.
Maybe that's what Aaron Rodgers needs in his arm. That old guy, when are they going to trade that old guy? You know? What do you think, Sam? When are they going to trade that old guy?
Never.
You think he's worth $2 million a game? A game? I don't think so. He's over the hill. He can't hit a long ball anymore.
I hung up that, if you guys are listening, I hung up a sign in our studio here that says, it says free AJ Green 2020.
What does that mean?
Oh, AJ Green for the Cincinnati Bengals, he's going to be a free agent after this season.
Yeah.
And I think he is the perfect fit for the Green Bay Packers because I'm tired of like drafting rookie wide receivers.
Yeah.
And I want to like bring in a veteran receiver who can contribute.
How about they bring in a good quarterback?
No, well. He did. Oh, okay. I see.
He's
how about they bring in? How about they bring in a good quarterback?
I agree that Rodgers isn't his best. He's declining, but I will still stick up for him.
I know. I'll tell you. The last game they played, I was hollering for his head. Every long ball he threw was too long.
Yeah, that was ugly.
I think that. Well, I take it back. To the white Jesus, he threw one.
Kumerow?
Yeah. Threw one to him that Kumerow had a chance to catch it at least.
Oh, yeah.
That was intercepted. But at least he had a chance. Every other long ball he threw is always too long.
It was like the.
And it's like, what happened to his touch?
It was like the most overthrows. You know? And I think that game was just an outlier. It was the most overthrows he had in like a single game. And just
he's had a lot of them.
The most incompletions.
Well,
I don't know.
This year. It'll be interesting to see a couple years down the road if all of a sudden the Packers draft like their number one draft pick, a quarterback, and see if that ticks off Aaron Rodgers like it did Brett Favre.
Yeah.
Although Ted Thompson was not a genius picking Aaron Rodgers with that pick.
No,
he
just got lucky.
He had no plan on picking him whatsoever. The guy was supposed to be gone in the first 10 picks.
Yeah. Just fell into his lap.
He basically had to take him.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he jumped out there thinking, I'm going to use my number one pick to get the predator.
But, there's one guy that the Packers could kick themselves for not keeping.
Don't say it.
You know who?
Oh, don't say
the guy from the New Orleans.
No,
what's his name?
Taysom Hill.
Taysom Hill.
Okay, but ask yourself:
Taysom Hill?
Would McCarthy ever would McCarthy ever utilize Taysom Hill the way Sean Payton does down in New Orleans?
No, you're right. He wouldn't utilize him that way. But Taysom Hill, Danny, does everything.
Yeah, he's like the Swiss Army knife.
Is he
running back, multi-purpose?
Everything.
He's a wideout, slot. He's a quarterback.
Oh, he's
he
the
can
white
throw,
guy.
Yeah,
he's
he
the white guy who
ball.
Ran over three Vikings.
Yeah.
I like that guy. That guy was like a beast.
He can throw the ball 50 yards down the field and hit a guy. I mean, as a matter of fact, in their last game, I think he threw for a touchdown. Yep. He scored a touchdown. He was doing everything.
It was like an NFL record for
his
single
game. I'm surprised Bill Belichick doesn't pick up on a guy like, because Bill Belichick, Edelman was a quarterback.
Well,
I think Bill Belichick seems to pick kind of like the overlooked little white guys from small colleges that nobody, you know.
Chris Hogan, a couple years ago.
Yeah. What's his name? Some of those Woodhead and some of these running backs. He gets these guys you never heard of before.
That used to be with them.
Amendola.
Amendola,
yeah. He gets those quick, fast little guys that most people might think, he's no good.
Well, I'll tell you, the Packers had Hill and they let him go. It's like, and they kept, who did they keep? They kept,
Tim Boyle.
Was it Tim Boyle?
I don't know, at the time.
I thought it was the year before Tim Boyle.
Was it? Brett Hundley.
Yeah.
Well,
they kept him.
If they,
I will say this, though. Rodgers even talked about it this week. He said, you know, this is the time that in my career that they had drafted me when Brett Favre was, you know, starting.
Is he bracing himself then?
I think he's starting. I think he's just trying to get like ahead of the curve as opposed to like, you know.
Getting a bunch of questions if all of a sudden the day after the draft. And you know, Danica grabs a phone and says it's for you. And they go, well, how do you feel about them drafting number one from Clemson, their quarterback?
And I'm sure, you know, and to tell you the truth, he'd probably say, yeah, fine, because maybe he's going to go at it totally different than Favre treated him. He'll probably treat a new guy totally differently.
I think
well, what do you mean?
I
don't know. He didn't really treat him.
He just kind of ignored him.
He just said, you know, if they expect me to mentor him,
That's not my job. I'm not a coach.
It's not my job. But then it's kind of funny. You know, what are they going to do in New England if Brady leaves? Because he forced Garoppolo out of there a couple years ago.
Yeah.
He forced him out of there. I don't think Brady was comfortable having Jimmy G sitting there behind him. So now that he forced New England to get rid of Garoppolo, then he can say, see ya, and now they're sitting high and dry.
Yeah. And we'll see what happens this spring. Right now, let's see what happens with these commercials that we got coming up right here on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Cutting Edge Outdoors. Hey, thanks for listening this morning. And we do want to, we were talking fisheries earlier. Remember that the 22nd annual Ice Jamboree for the Walleyes Unlimited Club is going to be at AJ's Bar and Grill next week, Saturday on the 18th. And this one goes from 5 to noon. And you can fish Big Muskego or other area lakes. They got great fish prizes. And the cool thing about the fish prizes is that they don't just pay out one place. They pay out several places for the different species. And there's great meat raffles. So you can get there, go inside. Raffles will begin about 11:30, and there's great prizes, including Jiffy Power Auger and team jerseys cash.
Don't they have two raffles? One's a meat raffle for all different kinds of meat, and then one's a prize raffle for all different kinds of prizes?
The meat raffles, Tom, are... It's not a meat raffle. The meat raffles, here's how it works.
Explain to me, Lucy.
I can't believe you've lived this sheltered life you're for the last 20 years. What? So go to Curly's Waterfront for and you'll see they all work the same. Basically, they have a bunch of meat.
Yeah.
And they go, okay, we're going to raffle off this big tenderloin.
Yeah.
$1 a ticket or five for five. Then they go around, sell the tickets, and have that raffle for that piece of meat.
Right.
Then 15 minutes later, they go, we got a big thing of bacon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So it's like 50 meat raffles throughout the day.
Yeah. Well, that's what I meant when I say meat raffles.
Right.
I knew that.
I thought you thought it was like a big grand prize.
No.
You get all the meat.
No. There's lots of different cuts.
So those are just
lots
separate raffles.
Yeah.
Apart from the general raffle, if you buy a general raffle ticket from your coworker at work from one of these clubs, that puts you in the running for all of them pretty much have a first prize of $500 bucks.
Where's this going to be held out of, Danny?
Well, this one's at AJ's Bar and Grill. Out in, it's on Mesquite. You've been there before, right? You know, right?
That's
across from the landing, isn't it?
It's near Boxhorn.
That's on Boxhorn Drive.
Yeah, Boxhorn Drive.
You are greatly learned. I take back everything I said about you not knowing about meat raffles. But here's a good thing about this. They use their profits to help with college scholarships, kids' fishing clinics, military veterans, fishing outings, fish stocking, etc. And so it's a good club. So if you want information, you can call our friend Walt. I think we talked to him last year. Walt Cook.
Yeah, he's going
to
be calling us.
847-710-5453. So I figured
I talked to some people, Danny, last year that they because they have vendors at this thing where people selling different things, they show up.
Yep.
Open up their, their van, their truck, whatever, and they sell different things. So these people told me that went out there, they said, man, this was a big deal. There's
vendors.
A lot of people. There were vendors.
Do they have permits, those vendors?
I don't know, Tom.
How about when John had that trailer that he'd drive all over to the Muskie shows and stuff?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
is he supposed to have a vendor permit for that?
Yeah,
John didn't worry about no stinking vendor permit.
Yeah, we don't need no stinking vendor permits.
Also, don't forget, this weekend, if you missed Temple Bay Lodge at the All-Canada show this past weekend, I believe they will also be at Chicago this weekend.
Mm, yep.
And they'll be at the Battle of Bago Ice Fishing Tournament in February. Mm-hmm. So don't forget, if you got a family trip you want to take to Chicago, Canada, Temple Bay Lodge is your way to go on beautiful Eagle Lake, multi-species. My brother-in-law goes up with his kid, and they've caught muskie, pike, walleye. You can get some great shore lunch material, and you get on the bus and let them do the rest. Get on the bus. There is no fuss. I just came up with that.
Oh, write that down, that's good.
I mean, Sam.
That's
write
good.
Write that down. Yeah, maybe I ought to start.
Get on the bus.
You know, I
should have
gone into marketing, Tom. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, speaking of shore lunches, years ago when I used to guide up on Minocqua, Tomahawk, and Kawagasaga, there's these islands on Tomahawk where they've got these grills. They're permanent grills. They're kind of dirty. You got to scrub them, you know, a little bit. But they're permanent grills on these islands. And then what we would do is not everybody wanted to do it. Most people wanted to keep fishing. And then some people said, yeah, we'll take a break for lunch. And you just pull up on a sand beach, get all your stuff out. I'd have a duffel bag with everything I needed in it,
right,
you know, and have a shore lunch. There was only one problem. A lot of flies on those sand beaches. A lot of flies.
You those little black ones that bite your ankles?
Yeah, you had to get away from those. You had to go into away from the sand beach a little bit, you know. But, you know, that is such a nice experience, and you don't need, you know, a lot of stuff to do it. I mean, you catch your fish and you clean it. Now, I know it's against the law to throw the entrails into the lake, right? But where are you going to put them? You know, after you fillet the fish, you got the bones, you got the head.
Well, just throw them in the bush.
Well, you can, I guess, but the crabs and turtles got to eat too, you know?
Just flag a few seagulls down.
There you go. Hey, who do you got on the line?
Kevin in Springfield, Illinois.
Oh, good morning, Kevin.
How you guys doing this morning?
Hey, we're really good. How's it down there in Illinois?
It's been raining for about 15 straight hours, but it's supposed to get colder later.
You don't have ice then, right?
No ice yet.
Well, we got the ice. Coming into the show this morning was hair-raising for all of us.
Yeah.
So what's on your mind, Kevin?
Well, real quick, let me say this. I hope it's snowing for the Packer game tomorrow first.
Yeah, I love watching games in the snow. Football games in the snow are awesome.
Oh, yeah, me too. But the main reason I'm calling is I want to thank Danny for mentioning that place that sells the trigger springs for the Mini 14 and Mini 30. I've got both rifles, and I need to do something with them, and I think I'm going to give that a try.
All right. Well, yeah, you were the one who sent the email, right? Or was that you? Maybe not.
I think I sent you one over a year ago, man.
Oh, no. This was just like about 3 weeks ago when Danny mentioned it, and he said, let me know how that works out, you know, with those triggers. And so Danny mentioned it today. It worked out great, you know?
Danny's headset isn't working right now, so he has no idea
what
you guys are talking about.
Yeah, Danny's headset isn't working, so he doesn't
hear you,
Kevin.
And the one I had at home sitting on the counter right by my keys to bring for the last 2 weeks, I forgot it again. Yeah.
So if you got a question, I'll relay it to him, Kevin.
Okay. Well, I could have emailed you, but my memory is about as bad as yours.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, it's funny how, you know, when you get older, it's like some things you remembered no problem, and other things it's like you have no clue, you know? So
I know.
Who knows?
It can be embarrassing at times, huh?
Well, Danny took his trigger guard to a place to have them install it. So I don't know if you're going to do that or not.
Well, is it in the trigger group, Danny, or did you even take it apart to look at it?
Is it in the trigger group, Danny, or did you take it apart to look at it?
I just took the whole firearm in, but you can, if you go to the M Carbo website and buy it, there was a YouTube video that showed a guy pulling out the whole trigger assembly and how to replace the spring. So, but you got to have like the little special tools and stuff to, you know, you don't want the spring going flying off onto this. So you take this, you're just replacing the spring, but it looked like there's a specific procedure. A gunsmith, no problem to do it. But you're better off I just paid a guy $40 to do it.
There you go. Then you know
it's done right.
Yeah.
Well worth it. It's for any mini mini 14 or mini 30 ranch rifles. Yeah.
You know, you know what it's like, Kevin? It's like you got a baitcaster reel and you decide you're going to take it apart to clean it and grease it, and you got about 52 parts, and when you put it back together, you got two extra. And you go,
There is another place that I had been planning on doing this. There's another place, if you Google online, Mini 14 trigger work, there is a company that actually does Ruger factory work, or they actually do work for Ruger themselves, but it's not actually Ruger. But they have a deal where you can actually, they used to have you send the whole rifle, but now they say you can send the trigger, pull out all the trigger stuff.
Uh-huh.
And so I was going to take it to a gunsmith and have them pull out the trigger, whole trigger stuff, and ship it to them. And they've got, for different prices, they can customize your trigger, you know, to whatever, a 4 pound, 3 pound. I mean, they got, and they'll just custom work right on that trigger group themselves. But I figured for $15 getting that spring and having someone put it in was better than going through all that hassle. And now it's just, it's just fine. It'll be fine for hunting. If I ever see a coyote, I'll be able to hit it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, I've sent a little spring flying across the room too, like we all have.
Well, that's just it. With a lot of things, we take them apart, and then springs especially, like flying across the room. Well, Kevin, thanks for calling.
All right. Thanks. You guys do a great job on your show. Thanks for doing it.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that, Kevin. All right. That's nice to get a call from Illinois. And did you notice I did not tease him about being from Illinois?
Well, you are such a teaser.
I know. I joke around. But, you know, some people, you know, when you joke around with people, some people don't realize you're joking around and they take offense, you know. So you got to be careful who you joke around with.
Well, when you ticked off Tony Rizzo and told him he was short.
Well, he is short. I'm sorry. I mean, well, what did I mean, all I said was,
yabba dabba.
Every muskie Tony catches that he holds up looks like a giant. I mean, he can catch a 40-inch fish, and it looks like a giant. Because, well, Tony's, what is Tony, like four and a half feet tall?
I work with a guy who's like Tom.
I wasn't being mean to the guy.
Certain people have a way of saying something.
I wasn't trying to be mean.
No, they're not trying, but certain people have a way of saying something that you just kind of rub.
Well, you know what it is? People better get a thicker skin then. Because in life nowadays, you know, having a thin skin is not going to help you.
Don't tell it to the people at Starbucks.
Why?
Right?
They don't have a thick skin.
Hey, you know what? I use my Starbucks gift certificates that some of my fine students gave me, and I appreciated it. I went, and they have gosh darn good coffee.
Good.
So,
well, listen, right
nobody
now.
Nobody kicked me out.
Well, I had
a badge on me.
All right, we got to take a break,
folks.
I was a cop. When we come back, we've got the gut report. So stay tuned for more. I'm Tom Neubauer. He's Dan Bush. And, of course, Sam is on the boards. So give us – oh, no, don't give us a call right now. We're going to tell you stuff when
Make
we come back.
Make up your mind already.
All right. We'll be right back.
Come here. I'm going to eat you. I'm bigger than you. I'm higher in the food chain. Get in my belly.
The Gut Report is brought to you by Discount Liquor. So you want to make a homemade pizza. You want to whip it up quick, right? But, gee, you don't want to take the time to make the dough, let it rise, all that stuff. And here's something that's quick and easy. You're going to love it. You just go and buy some French bread. You know that thicker French bread? You cut it down the middle. You got the two sides. You put your pizza sauce on it. You put whatever you want, you know, on it. Put it under the broiler. It doesn't take long, maybe a minute or two. And there you got a homemade pizza right in front of you. And it didn't take but a few minutes. The Gut Report is brought to you by Discount Liquor, where you're going to find the best price, selection, and service at 51st and Oklahoma in Milwaukee and Main Street in Barstow and Waukesha. For weekly specials, go to DiscountLiquorInc.com.
Welcome. Welcome back from the lamest gut report ever. What do you mean? Just put some sauce on bread.
Well,
there's the pizza.
No.
Oh, okay.
You weren't listening.
Yes, I was listening.
I said put your sauce on the bread and then put whatever ingredients you want on it.
Again.
Some people
put some sauce on some bread.
People like, some people like mushrooms and onions. Some people like sausage. Some people like green peppers. You know, so put whatever ingredients you like
just,
on it.
Just go buy an Eagles frozen pizza for $6.95.
These are homemade. These are better.
What do you mean? Just because it's homemade, it's better?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
yeah, you do. I know. You know, my mom used to make. Mom used to make the homemade pizza kit. I think it was Chef Boyardee.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And it was a homemade pizza kit where you'd just have the dough.
I remembered those.
You'd roll out the dough, and then you'd put the sauce on, and then, you know, maybe if I don't know if.
Well, you always put some cheese on it.
I don't know if she even did. Yeah. Maybe some cheese. I don't ever think we ever had it. I think there was no cheese or pepperoni. But you know, there was a guy who had a business down in Springfield, Missouri, when I was in college. It was right across from BBC, which was like a Baptist Bible college, which was like a couple miles from our college. And anyway, he had a little shop, and he would sell pizza by the slice.
Yeah.
And it was 25 cents a slice.
Okay.
And it was that same exact pizza. He'd just be rolling out. You'd see him making these big, giant trays, Tom, of dough.
Yeah.
And then just putting a bunch of sauce on there. Yeah. And then just sprinkling a little bit of cheese and putting them in these big ovens. And then they'd come out and he'd just cut them into big giant squares and 25 cents. So for a poor college student,
that was great.
For a buck, you could get four pieces of pizza. And, you know, and for him, the ingredients didn't cost him all that much, I'm sure.
Right.
Because he was selling such a volume and he had a good little business.
Yeah. And he buys that wholesale, too.
And he didn't even have to listen to your gut report. No. He knew it already. But.
Well, you know, the thing is if, you know, the French bread pizzas, Stouffer's was making something like that, a frozen one. Stouffer's French bread pizza.
Well, yeah, you can buy these little microwave
they
ones.
Got those. Well, this one's, I don't know if you put it in the microwave. I think you put it in the oven. I don't remember. I don't know.
You know, I did see a good recipe for doing making a homemade pizza. Maybe you were the one that told me on the grill. And I also saw one that you could make over an open fire too.
Oh yeah,
I've seen some pretty good recipes, and I can't remember where I saw them. But I thought, that'd be really cool to make kind of like you'd wrap it in foil and put it over the old campfire
there. I know my youngest son Andy, when he was in high school, he got a recipe. For pizza dough. You know, the other stuff you don't need a recipe for.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the dough, you know, the right kind of dough. And he got a recipe for this dough. I forget where he got it from. And I'll tell you, I've been using that ever since. And I'll tell you, it's easy. It's excellent. The other thing I make out of it is I make bread rolls out of it. You know, those long, round rolls, you know. And like Olive Garden shows on TV, I make bread rolls out of it. I'll even make bread out of it, you know, out of the same dough. Well, you know, like pizza dough, it's good. You know, pizza dough is good. And this was a great recipe. I've given it on the show before, but I like making homemade pizzas. I enjoy that.
Well, you like cooking, period.
I do, yeah. I don't have a problem. And I got to admit, not everything I make is good. I've had a few... You know,
but you're a good cook. There's no doubt you're a good cook. I'm
sure
you do the cooking in the house, not your wife, right?
Yeah. Well, now she's starting to do a little bit more of it. She's starting to, because she's retired now too. So she's starting to do a little bit of it, but she still has me do it.
See, I don't mind the cooking, the cleanup though. That's the problem.
Yeah. Well, we do that together.
You do?
Yeah, we do it together. So
you guys kind of sit side by side.
No.
You wash and she dries.
No. She washes. She washes and I dry.
Are you really? So you don't have a dishwasher?
No. That used to be me when she worked.
Yeah.
I did the
dishes,
everything.
You don't have a dishwasher?
Nah. Don't need
one. See, neither do I.
Don't need
one. That's why it piles up, because I hate doing it.
I never minded doing it. Doing dishes, I didn't mind it. I mean, before my wife retired, I always did the dishes during the week.
Yeah.
Monday through Friday. And then on the weekend, she would do them.
I could always get know how mad my mom was at my dad when I'd hear her do the dishes, and she'd slam each dish down after she...
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'd hear...
Upset?
Yeah, she used to get upset.
Yeah.
She got mad. Normally because we were gone hunting or fishing or out in the woods, and we were late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
women hate late.
They do. And whenever
Unless
they ask you, when are you going to be back? Well, I don't know for sure.
Well, that was the mistake that Dad made in the younger years. He'd try to overpromise and he'd underdeliver. He'd say, "Oh, about 5:30." I knew as a kid walking out the door, there ain't no way we'll be back at 7:30, 8 o'clock, which we were. But Mom, she got trained. She adapted. By the time I was in high school, she'd go to my dad. She'd go, "Lloyd, what time are you going to be home?" "I don't know. I'm going to go bow hunting after." "Okay, Dan, what are you going to do?" "Well, I got wrestling practice." "Tim, what you?" She'd go, "Okay, so whatever you guys get home, dinner will be ready at 5. After that, it'll be wrapped in aluminum foil in the oven. You can warm it up." Yep. And she just didn't worry about it anymore because she gave up. She quit fighting.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to tomorrow because back in end of September, one of my sons and I, we caught some really nice crappies. And I'm going to make those tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that. It's nice to have a few fish in the freezer, you know, that you can pull out in the dead of winter and make them. I'm looking forward to that. I'm not looking forward to the snow that we're supposed to be getting later on today, tomorrow, you know, today and tonight. I'm not looking forward to that, though.
You're not looking forward to it?
No. Who looks forward? Well, you know, there are some people who look forward to snow.
So,
skiers and snowmobilers and stuff like that. Some people enjoy it. Not me, though.
Snowblower salesmen look forward to it.
Oh, yeah. They like that. Yeah. Sam, are you going to be shoveling tonight?
Oh, he just said Pop got a snowblower.
Well, he did, but he messed up his back, so I'm probably going to have to help him out.
Yeah, you better.
Tomorrow. Yeah, no, definitely will.
So as far as your son now, ice fishing, anything at all?
Nick hasn't been out ice fishing. He hasn't. He's waiting until there's good ice. Now, a few other people he knows have been out that I know too. They've been out. They've been catching a few fish now, but they were out when we had that cold spell, and there was like 5 inches of ice, 4 or 5 inches of ice. They were out then, but he's just waiting for decent ice. That's all.
You know, I think I'm gonna go down to the Chicago area and do some coyote hunting.
I don't even want to ask.
You've heard what's going on down in Chicago?
No, what? Right?
Oh, the coyotes are running rampant. They're running around biting people down there.
Really?
Yeah, some guy was walking down the road and got bit in the arse. He got bit in the butt by a coyote.
Really?
Yeah,
bit him. This is like in the city?
In the city. And
really?
Then some other little kid, what happened? I think a kid had to go in because a little kid got bit. Yeah, they're charging people. They're just charging right up and going after people.
Really?
Yeah, I think one story, some guys came and they started throwing rocks to kind of, here's what one story. One coyote, I always call them coyotes, but.
That's all right.
Yeah.
We all know what you mean.
But city people go, "You mean coyote?" Yeah, they're so used to Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Coyote.
Yeah,
yotes.
That's fine.
You know, we country folk call them yotes.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, we redneck sodbuster flannel wearing. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, where was I with it? Anyway, it grabbed a poodle, somebody's poodle and was running off with it in its jaws. And then they threw rocks and it dropped the poodle. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you
how the poodle
if this
survived.
Is illegal.
Probably going to need therapy after that.
Is this illegal? Let's say you're walking down the street.
PTSD.
Let's say, okay, over by Whitno Park, okay? You're walking down through Whitno Park.
Bad dreams.
And all of a sudden, you're attacked by a coyote.
Okay.
Now, you got a concealed carry license. And this coyote's coming after you. He's growling. He's got his teeth bared. He's going to attack you. Can you pull your gun and shoot that coyote? Is that legal?
Who cares?
Well, I know I'd shoot it, but I mean, is it legal?
I'd shoot first and ask foolish questions later.
Well, I'm just kind of curious.
I'll get my attorney on that.
Because
it's not like they're endangered or something, I would assume.
But you're not supposed to discharge a firearm in the city limits.
Oh.
Didn't
think about that.
if you're in San Francisco, they'd put you in prison for life. But if you're... up in the northern Northwoods, they'd probably just buy you a beer at the local bar and say, "Good job, Irv."
Yeah, exactly.
Good job.
Well, listen, Danny, you got a good job coming up doing
What's
the Hornswoggle. The Hornswoggle is brought to you by Carl's Country Markets, and they're out there in Menominee Falls. They're on the corner of Silver Spring and Pilgrim Road. They got everything you need in meat and more, sausages galore. Check them out. Carl's Country Market in Menominee Falls. Danny, he's going to ask you, well, he's going to make three statements. You got to tell him if it's a Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle. Be a contestant. Win that $10 gift certificate to Carl's Country Market by calling 414-799-1250. That's 799-1250. And if you've won in the last 6 weeks, don't bother calling because we're checking our list, maybe even twice. We'll be right back with more, folks.
What is this? Some some of his old drug day music here going on?
No, this
on
is
there?
This is a what cut did you take this from?
This is Purple Haze, Jimi Hendrix.
But yeah, but this isn't
back when you were doing LSD.
Yeah, this isn't like the Costco. This must be like the Costco version.
Yeah, it must be because it's not the regular album version.
No, not
at all. No.
Remember when John played? It was before one of the Muskie tournaments, maybe the Two Charlies years ago. He played. He'd play the national anthem, and he played the Jimi Hendrix version, blasting over the lake.
Who do we got on the line?
Mike in the South Side.
All right. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I'm good, Mike. So you know how this works. I make a statement, and if I'm BSing you, you say, that's a Hornswoggle. If I'm not BSing you, you say, no Hornswoggle. So here we go. Let's see. Chronic wasting disease was first found in white suckers in the Wolf River in 1987.
That's a Hornswoggle.
Hornswoggle.
Oh boy, that was a good one.
And I'm going to segue. That was a segue, planned segue, Tom. Later we're going to talk a little CWD.
Okay.
But let's not get ahead of ourselves. The Wolfinkie. The Wolfinkie is a tungsten version of the classic Ratfinkie jig.
No Hornswoggle.
That's the, yeah.
And let's see.
Well, you're a winner already.
Yeah. Let's see. He'd be 3 for 3. VHS replaced beta and later became quite a disease in white-tailed deer in Wisconsin.
That's a
Hornswoggle. Okay, there we go. Semi-true. VHS did beat out beta. So, okay, we'll keep you on hold there, Mike. Leave your address and information. And, hey, make sure that Sam back there gets your zip code. He forgot that last time. Yeah, Sam. That's okay. You're forgiven, buddy. All right.
Thanks.
Take care, man.
Appreciate it, Mike. Yeah, no, Mike's going to stay on hold while Sam takes care of business. Yeah, I wouldn't be so forgiving as you were.
What?
I'd be beating him up this morning, Sam.
I don't mean literally.
I mean, I would have been harassing him verbally.
Would you have been teasing him, Tom?
Oh, no, I would have been downright harassing him.
You'd be harassing him, teasing. So, speaking of this chronic wasting disease, interesting, there was an article by Paul Smith, Journal Sentinel this week. They have now actually found evidence of CWD in the semen of whitetail bucks.
Really?
And they don't know what the implications are yet, but it's kind of a game changer.
How did they find that?
Well, they had to get the semen and check it.
Well, how would it, did they shoot a buck and then check out his privates?
Listen, dude, do I really need to get into this?
No.
Animal husbandry?
No, please don't.
Ever hear how they do it for bulls?
Yeah, I heard they eat them. They eat the testicles.
Oh, they rot. They hood them and rot them, dude.
Hood them and rot them. Really?
Yeah, they like give them hormones and pheromones to get them excited, and then they put it like a bag, and then they take an electric shocker up their butt.
Really?
And that's how they get it.
Really?
How they get the that's a guy told me that years
ago.
Oh
my goodness!
Yeah. Hood them and rot them.
Good thing they don't do that to human beings.
Well, yeah. See, aren't you glad you asked about that? Huh? Right?
But did you know they do eat the testicles? Out in, like, Colorado, they call them Rocky Mountain oysters.
Well, don't they eat?
Is that from sheep's testicles or cow testicles or bull testicles or somebody's testicles, some animal?
How would someone end up eating something like that where they, like, think, hey, wonder if those are good.
Wonder if those are good.
You know, when you think about half the stuff people eat, they eat brains.
Who was the first one? that said, oh, well, how about that? Let's try
All right,
that.
Are you done getting me off
track
on this stuff?
I'm sorry.
Okay, so I was trying to talk about, had to say the word deer semen, and woo, there you go. Thank God, if John Lehman were here, it probably really would have went nuts off the rails. So anyway, so they find it, so they don't know whether that means, that like a doe who gets impregnated or almost gets impregnated, if that can transfer it to the doe. And or can the fawn, as a result of getting if a doe gets impregnated by, you know, CWD infested semen, will the fawn have CWD? You know, the interesting thing is they just don't, they're not sure on the transmission. They think it can be like nose to nose.
Yeah.
I do think that they found traces like in other bodily fluids like urine, you know, like the waste of deer's. But as the study continues. Now, this could, here's where the implication is, though, Tom. Apparently, as in a lot of animal husbandry, where the semen for a high-priced stud racehorse or whatever can go for, you know,
millions.
Millions. Right. Well, apparently, from some of these, you know, they got pictures of these giant deer with huge racks, and they've got those in those deer farms. Evidently, that they get the semen from one that from like some big stud buck, and that can sell, and that's thousands and thousands of dollars. And apparently, that's like some, I don't know, whatever the paper said, some $1 million industry or something in the U.S., which you, it's funny what you don't know, Tom.
Yeah.
So that could really put a kibosh on that, because if they all of a sudden outlaw where you can't, you know, go ahead and sell that to other deer farms to, you know, for their purposes of growing giant bucks, you know, so who knows? The jury's still out on how that's going to affect the industry. But, you know, I could see eventually maybe them just shutting deer farms down altogether. They're finally... They finally got around to, I believe now they're requiring double fencing.
Yeah, right.
They should have done that back when they first found the CWD. I mean, they should have taken more precautions. Mm-hmm. Minnesota's being more aggressive now because it's just started to get started there, and Michigan, and they don't want Minnesota or Michigan to become like what Wisconsin did, where we just kind of, you know, tried to deal with it. Then we put our heads in the sand and said we were going to monitor it. And then all of a sudden it's everywhere.
Well, then, I mean, the Wisconsin wildlife officials knew about it way in advance. I mean, because other states out west have had it for years. So they knew it was there. And it's only time before it got here, you know. It was only going to take time before it got here, which it eventually did. And you think they would have been maybe those other states weren't on top of it as good either, you know, and maybe there wasn't that much study done on it.
Well, it was way out west.
Yeah, out west.
So it's not like a deer with CWD walked its way over to Wisconsin.
No.
I think it probably was as a result of people transporting.
Yeah, might have been, with the deer farms.
Out west, how did it first occur?
Yeah. Where did it first come from?
Oh, it seems to me I might have heard something that they might have thought that maybe they got it from the sheep.
Yeah,
because the sheep seems to me that there's a similar type thing. It is, you know, mad cow disease. But how does any disease start?
Yeah,
you know?
Aliens. Yeah. Aliens. That's what it is. Yeah, ancient aliens.
Okay, you're an alien. So anyway, speaking of VHS.
Yeah.
You know, in Wisconsin, we now have that law where, you know, if you get like smelt and you want to use dead bait for pike, well, you're supposed to brine them in Clorox bleach first and kill the VHS and this and that. But you can use like the smelt on like the Great Lakes because VHS is already present there. So like if I go up to the Bay of Green Bay, I can use smelt. It doesn't have to be brined in blue Clorox bleach or whatever it is.
What if it's store-bought smelt?
Well,
what if it came from Canada?
Well, that's beautiful. You're just leading me right into what I'm talking about.
Oh, good.
Tom.
All right.
Anyway, in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Now, like in Wisconsin, even if you do buy bait here, like sucker minnows and stuff like that, you're best to probably keep the receipt because you're not supposed to get like suckers from a stream or whatever. You get it from the bait shop. Now, Minnesota, you have to buy from a licensed bait dealer up there. And like if you're buying smelt or alewives, dead bait, it has to have a label that it's certified VHS free. So you actually get the stuff with a label right from the bait shop, certified VHS free.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, Tom. You're a genius. They do get it from Canada.
They do.
They
huh?
get it shipped down from Canada. It's got a label certified VHS free, and they can sell it in they can sell it in Minnesota at bait shops, because I've inquired on this because I may go back to Lake of the Woods, and you can use it, but they don't let you do that in Wisconsin.
Huh.
So, like, I could buy a pack of big 5 to 7 inch alewives, and it's certified VHS free with the label, and use it in Minnesota. But from what I understand, that wouldn't fly in Wisconsin.
Huh.
Which doesn't make sense. But if anybody is interested in this VHS free bait, you can go to awesomeadventurefisheries.com, and they got smelt 5 to 7 inches. That's too small for, but the alewives, 7 to 9 inches. And so I actually contacted them, and there is a bait shop in Duluth. They won't send it to you directly, but there is a bait shop in Duluth they referred me to.
Okay. Well, with that, we gotta take a break. And when we come back, going to be reading the emails, checking those out, all right?
Sounds good.
When we come back. So we got about 2.5 minutes. So folks, sit tuned, go and get a cup of coffee, do whatever, and we'll be right back. He's Dan Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. Sam Schmitz is on the board. Stay tuned.
From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
All aboard! Ha, ha, ha! You're on the crazy train!
All aboard!
Welcome to the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
It is now time for the second hour of the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors with Dan Bush and me, Tom Neubauer. We welcome you here, whether this is your first hour or second hour, and you can always be part of the show by giving us a call at 414-799-1250. That's 799-1250. Or you can email us live at ceoguys@yahoo.com. As a matter of fact, Danny, we got one here.
Wow, we got a live one. One person is listening to us this morning.
This is from Ray. Ray says, "Hi, guys. How you going to prepare your fish tomorrow?" I guess that's for me. And then it says, "By the way, when I prepare dinner and my bride complains that I don't clean up, I say, well, that's because I'm the chef and chefs don't clean." And then I duck. Yours with a smile and a song from Ray. Well, Ray, as far as how am I going to prepare those fish, you know, I'm not supposed to eat a lot of fried foods, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm going to fry them anyway tomorrow. Just like a typical fish fry.
Let me ask you there. Is there a better type of oil, or did they talk about a healthier way, you know?
No,
so it doesn't clog the old arteries.
I've read that up.
You've read up on this?
Read up on
you
that.
You Googled it?
Yeah, and did you know everybody thinks that butter is so bad? It's not.
Butter's not as bad. In fact, I've heard margarine is worse than the butter for you.
Oh, definitely, yes. And butter is not that bad. Olive oil is good, but believe it or not, butter is even better. But some of your other oils,
yes,
like grapeseed oil. I've talked about corn oil, grapeseed oil, sunflower oil. Those are very good for you.
Canola. Yeah.
So, what do you got there?
Bob in Muskego.
Bob in Muskego. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, isn't there a big fishery going on out there soon?
That I don't know. I can't answer that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was just wondering, are you guys familiar with any good gunsmiths around the area anymore to work on older guns and also the clean guns?
Well, Midwestern Shooter Supply has a gunsmith up there, and they've got everything you need related to guns. So a little bit of a drive. Don't do it today. The roads are icy. But if you just get on 41, head up north, and you should be up there in maybe 30, 40 minutes. And, I'd suggest Midwestern Shooter Supply.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Thanks.
All right.
Thank you. Take care.
I know.
Right.
I don't.
What are you getting distracted about?
No, I was waiting for Sam to hang up. Because, yeah. And then we got somebody else. We got somebody else on the line.
Bushy, you got a friend of yours named Jim?
Jim.
It's Comar, buddy. How's
hey, what's
morning,
up, buddy?
Hey, good morning.
What's happening, pal?
Good morning. You know, Tom, you've been doing this for quite a while now. You should have them buttons figured out.
No,
I don't
get to push the
they
buttons.
They don't let me push buttons
years
no
ago
more.
They used to in the old studio, remember?
I used to
run back, yeah. Answer phones, put people on hold. Yeah. It made me feel impotent.
Yeah, and I like doing it because
and
if somebody
I couldn't
if
somebody, have kids because I was impotent.
Yeah, if somebody ticked me off, I would just hang up on them. Remember that?
Sparky.
I would just hang up on people.
Bye, Jim. Sparky does that all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Award-winning radio broadcasting.
So before you get off, don't forget Al Shook has a couple tickets for me, and then me and you will go out to that Waukesha Conservation League thing again.
Sounds like a great
plan. I think it's February 7th. And then remember we talked about, you know, if we can scrape up some dough, maybe we can pay the big bucks and get a ton of tickets in advance and try and, you know, like split the raffle tickets.
That would be the way to go.
So stay in touch. You know, but what's on your mind, Jim?
Well, I was just all that talk about the smelt, and we just can't use food grade herring anymore, huh?
I don't think so.
No. We can't use. I don't remember those years of getting it.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, what's his name? Mark Horton went to the fish place and got some herring. Yeah, but now it's got to have the label. Yep. And you see how that VHS guys has really just overtaken Wisconsin since it was first discovered with a few floating dead fish. Don't you guys think that maybe that was kind of like overblown by the DNR?
Oh, I always thought it was.
I mean, it seemed like it was because it really hasn't. VHS hasn't decimated any fish populations anywhere as far as I know.
But, you know, if you don't really understand the full ramifications of it, being overblown is probably better than being underblown.
Well, they should have done that with CWD.
Exactly. Yeah.
Danny, you sent me a text message, but I think it was for somebody else. Check your phone.
Okay.
All
Sounds
right.
good. We'll do.
Thanks, Jim. Right.
We'll
bye now.
Yep. Bye.
Yeah, we got another email here. This is from Ken. Ken says, Tom, do you still smoke meat? Still using your Weber grill for that? Does it work well? And Ken, yes. As a matter of fact, I've got two old, you know, Weber-type grills that I use for smoking, as a matter of fact. Just before I had my operation, I bought a duck that I was going to smoke on the grill. So, of course, I had to put that on hold. And as soon as, maybe if there's another nice day coming up, I was going to do it last week. We had some nice days, but other things got in the way. So, but yes, I still do. I still smoke meat. And of course, like with fish, you have to brine the meat before you smoke it. So just remember that, just like with fish. And yes, those old Weber grills, Weber-type grills, they work great for smoking. So there you go. Yes, I do.
Well, we got it coming in hot and heavy. We got any more coming in?
I don't know. I am. I'll tell you what. I'm looking forward to that smoked duck. I like smoked duck. That is really good. And if you're gonna smoke a duck, don't use a wild one. There's not enough fat on it.
You can tune a piano, but you can't tune a fish.
Right.
And you can smoke a duck. And hey, Muskie's Inc. Let's see. This Tuesday, January 14th. 2020, that would be this year, at the Machine Shed. They got a meeting starting around 7 o'clock, and they got a special speaker, Captain Doug Wegner, homegrown guide, grew up in the Southeast, and he's going to be there talking, and he's got a YouTube channel, Doug Wegner Fishing. So, yeah, if you've never gone to any of those club meetings, I believe you don't have to be a member. You can go in, sit in on a meeting, kind of hear, get a feel for what the club is like. And this time of year, not much going on a cold Tuesday night. Swing by the Machine Shed.
Oh, I got a little update, too, from last week.
What's the update, Tom?
Well, last week I mentioned, because we were talking about pellet guns and BB guns
and
stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, 40% off sale.
See, you remember? That's what I said. I said 40% off at Sherper's on their pellet guns over there in Hales Corners.
It's a real good deal, man.
Yeah, and a couple of guys called Sherper's and said, I hear you got your gun, your pellet gun 60% off. So then the manager at Sherper's calls me and says, Tom, they're not 60% off, they're 40. I says, I know that. Well, these guys are calling asking about 60, and I said, well, they're wrong. They misheard me. I said 40.
Well, you know, so. Unless we said, well, that means you only pay 60%.
See? It could be that.
Where did these guys go to school anyway?
I don't know. I don't know. But anyway.
I think in their own mind, they thought, oh, that's 60%, right? Yeah. And then when they called up, they said, oh, 60% off. Instead they twisted of, it around twisted in their around. Own minds, right? Just like someone catches a 23-pound fish, and then later they're telling people they got a 32-pound fish.
Yeah,
that's what happens.
Who do you got on the line there?
Dave in Pewaukee.
All right. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, Cabaret.
It's the Big O.
Big O, how you
Studio
doing?
Studio 360.
Hey, what's going on, guys? You guys, I thought Dan Bush was talking dating advice earlier. Did I?
Yeah. Well, here was my advice. Have you got any of that Troy Woodrow's Cafe Rumba bottles left there when he left you the mother load? I wanted to pick some of that up to impress the chicks.
Well, you know, there's a case here with your name on it. I'm only like three buildings away. Jesus, you got to
I got to stop in and see my old buddy there. In fact, being as you just do such a great job on portraits and stuff, any of our listeners, if you got any of your kids graduating or whatever, you do all those fantastic, innovative photos. And I'm planning on going in and having you take retirement pictures for me.
Well, I figured we could update your dating profile, you know. And,
Well, that's going great right now, let me tell you.
Hey, okay, so Muskie Club of Wisconsin has a couple of seminars coming up, in the new year here. Yogi Komarski, you know, the artist formerly known as Fatty Komar, he's in February 13th, and yours truly, April 9th.
We were just talking to him.
Huh?
We were just talking to him.
Right on. So yeah. we got an April 9th date for yours truly. We're going to be talking all things photo and video for your boat. So I feel like might be a good a how-to on some tactics that I use and some simple things that all the sod busters out there can
No, wait a minute. You better explain to me. I'm a little slow this morning.
He's looking befuddled.
Yeah, what
why
do you
are you
mean,
looking befuddled?
Photos for your boat.
You're all befuddled. I remember when Bart Starr used the word, I was befuddled.
Yeah. Now, what do you, what, explain picture, this.
Taking pictures of your catch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, the videotaping yourself, catching a fish, still pictures when you're by yourself. They got all this great technology, right, Dave?
That's right. Photos and videos. And there's a lot of things that, fishermen can do, especially fishing by themselves. You know, I'll go over some things that that I do and then some advanced things. And then once you get the pictures or videos taken, what to do with them, how to get them off your camera, how to get them online and show all your buddies your catch. So, a couple of informative seminars coming up here spring. But
you're going to show us how to block out the background information so they don't know where you're fishing?
There are some techniques there that we'll go over. Instead of those, I see those pictures posted all the time.
Where is this Wisconsin Muskie Club located, their seminars?
You know, they changed the – it used to be there at Thunder Bay. They're over by John and Blank, over by Brookfield Square, Moreland Road in 94. What is that hotel? It used to be called John and Blank, the Motor Lodge, Midway Motor Lodge. Now it's kind of rebranded, but all their information on the Muskie Club of Wisconsin website there. So
yeah, if you just Google Wisconsin Muskie Club, you'll find out. Yeah.
Yep, okay. But no fishing reports. You know what? It's kind of that time of year, no ice and no open water. So we got to talk about something, right?
Yeah, this has been a weird year. You know, one week we have ice, next week we don't. Then the next week we have ice, then the next week we don't. It's been back and forth like crazy this year.
Well, I talked to Dale Stroshein yesterday and about the current situation up there, and I posted on Facebook yesterday the 50-mile-an-hour gusts that are coming with the floating ice. Man, it's going to be awful up there. I hope they're wrong, and I hope there's not a lot of damage up there, but I feel like that's going to really wreak havoc up there and then make, what really isn't a fishable ice fishing situation up there even worse. So, but cold is coming. Hopefully they'll weather the storm well and, and then we'll be into the ice fishing.
You know, had they been doing any ice fishing up there this season?
No. It's, you know, a couple have ventured out shallow for some perch, but there's, you know, Dale said they got no shacks out. They got their new load of tracker, wheelers that came in, and they're just waiting for the cold weather. It's a busy time of year for them, and the bookings for the resort, they've had to reschedule, and a lot of people rely on that.
Well,
that cold weather for
this for Dale, and there's a number of big outfitters up there that they go put a bunch of shacks, they plow roads, they get groups out there. I mean, this is to the tune of probably hundreds of thousands of dollars people are not earning right now.
Oh, for sure.
It's a big buck operation up there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure we'll be paying for it come musky opener. There'll be floating icebergs out there. We'll pay for it. But you can't control the weather. You just got to kind of
adapt
to it and make it happen.
Live with it. All right. Thanks for calling, Dave.
Take care, Big O. I'll swing by.
Danny, okay. Stop by for crying out loud.
All right, buddy. We'll do.
See ya. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
And with that, we got to take a break. We'll be right back with more on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. You are listening to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors.
Ooh. Well, my heart knows it better than I know myself, so I'm going to let it do all the talking. Ooh. Ooh. I came across a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree.
Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Hey, Tom, you ever do any fly fishing?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so just another announcement here. If you thought about getting into fly tying, there is a beginner's fly tying class. It's going to be January 22nd and 29th. It basically, let's see, this beginner class is perfect for those looking to enter the world of fly tying or just tune up on the basics. And the class will be held from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. on Wednesdays, January 22nd and 29th. Over the course of those two nights, dry flies, nymphs, and streamers will be taught. They're going to be held at the Fly Fishers.
Yeah.
And cost is only $50, includes all the materials. So another winter thing that a person could do if you've been thinking about getting into fly tying, you can contact the Fly Fisher shop there. It's on Greenfield Avenue in Brookfield.
Yeah, I don't think I'd have the patience for fly tying. I don't think I'd have the patience for that.
No?
And I don't think so. But fly fishing, oh, yeah. I haven't done it in a while because there's some reasons. But anyway, I used to go north of Madison in the Lodi area.
Mm-hmm.
There were a bunch of streams there that, you know, we caught rainbow trout and some brown trout. Nothing real big, nothing to brag about, but we caught fish. I'd go up by the Wittenberg area, and I forget the name of the bigger river there. But, there's a number of areas. And, of course, I used it on places like Pewaukee and Nagawicka and whatever, area lakes for the bluegills and the crappies. So, yeah, when I'd fish those small streams, though, I had to buy a shorter fly rod because there were just too many branches sometimes around. You just can't use a real long one. So, yeah, I enjoyed it, but I haven't done it in a while, and I should really get back into it because even a small fish feels like a big one.
You know where there's some beautiful brown trout? Up there in Sparta where I'd go deer hunt.
Yeah.
There's a trout stream that runs right through the marsh there.
Yeah.
And in the winter, especially if the water's high, they winter up in those holes. And when I was up there a couple weeks ago, I could walk along the edge and just kind of watch or even just throw like a little rock in the water, and I could see beautiful, they're brown trout. And my brother went and caught some a couple of years ago, and I think his biggest was like maybe 15 inches, and he let them all go.
Nice. Those are nice.
And they're beautiful yellow on the side, beautiful brown trout, just really something. And he just used like a little spinning rod with a small little teeny hook and a little piece of night, worm.
Yep.
And he just figured he'd let it cast out to the little holes there and let it drift on by, and they come shooting out and grab it. So I can see that being something that a person could really get into.
Yeah, and the thing is in these streams and that where trout are, where they are available, you don't have to use a fly rod and flies. A spinning rod with those little spinners, those little MEP spinners or something like that, or just a hook and a piece of crawler.
Just a teeny little bit.
Well, yeah, that's with a sinker just up about a foot from it. That works awesome, yeah. That's
how I used to catch brook trout years ago in Minnesota. In fact, one time, right in Duluth, Minnesota, there is a stream, little creek. It's so small that runs down off the big hill in Duluth. Anybody who's been up to Duluth knows as you drive, it's a city built on a hill. And this creek then runs underneath the road there and through a culvert and then goes into the St. Louis River in this little bay.
Mm-hmm.
And when there'd be heavy rains, you could walk the railroad tracks and look down into that little bay there right over the top of the culvert, and there'd be trout there that had gotten washed on down. Now, they probably wouldn't live real long once the water got warm. Well, we went hiking up that years ago. I don't know, I might have been 13 years old. Went up there with my cousin. We went walking on up, and we had little hand lines. We didn't even have fishing rods. We had just a little bit of mono and a little worm and a hook, and we'd put it on, and we'd just kind of dip our hand down by a little rock or a little pool. And we caught some little brook trout, and right before dark, I lost one. I remember I pulled it up out of the water, and it was over a foot long, and it had this brilliant orange belly.
The colors on brook trout are awesome.
And it was right before dark. It was almost dark. I don't know what we were up in the middle of. Parents didn't worry about kids back then. And it came off the hook and hit a rock and flopped back in before I could grab it, because I think I would have kept that one.
You know, first time, before I ever saw a real live brook trout, I saw, mounts of them, okay? And when I first saw a mount of a brook trout, I thought, oh, that the guy who painted that was crazy. You know, there's no fish that looks like that. Oh, they got a little, they got carried away with their paints. And then when I saw a real live brook trout, I went, oh my goodness, they look just like that. They're awesome. One of the prettiest fish that swims, without a doubt. Yeah. The colors on them are cool. Yeah.
And I'll tell you my tale of woe, Tom, from this week.
Uh-oh.
I hear my tale of woe?
Yes.
Okay, so I've been in the process of trying to, middle of winter, upgrading the old arsenal. I've been looking at my firearms and thinking, which ones do I only have one magazine for? Which do I want more? Now, for the Ruger Mini Ranch, it came with a 20-round magazine. I did buy an aftermarket 30-round magazine made by ProMag, which... is not Ruger per se, but I've read some reviews that it should work pretty good. And matter of fact, Ruger does make one now itself, but the Ruger magazines are more expensive, although they do work pretty much flawlessly. So maybe you should just buy the Ruger one. There was a while when, remember when the magazine capacity and all that stuff was a big deal with national laws? I don't think Ruger was making anything more than a 20-round mag for that years ago. I think that's why I just bought that 30-round one from ProMag way back when I won that.
Mm-hmm.
So I got two magazines for that. Well, one of my students gave me a gift certificate for Gander. So, not Gander, Cabela's. So you know what? I've got a 10-round magazine for my 10/22.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always wanted to get maybe a 15 or 25-round. I had bought a 25-round years ago that was not made by Ruger, and it was crap. It didn't work. So I thought, I'm going to go buy a regular Ruger-made 25-round magazine. Well, I went up to Cabela's, and the 25-round ones were just too big and audacious. I didn't want that big, long thing sticking out of my 10/22, but the 15-round one seems about perfect. So I go home. I got my new 15-round one, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to put this in a desk drawer with the 10-round one. Can't find my 10-round magazine.
Okay. Oh, no.
Well, I was out squirrel hunting last Saturday.
Okay.
And you know what I think I did?
What?
I had that 10-round magazine, and I put it on the back floor of my truck. So I right away went out to the back floor of my truck to look for it yesterday, and it wasn't there. And then I'm trying to think. Now, I'm like you, Tom. I'm old. I forget stuff. I think I went to the car wash and was vacuuming in the back, and I think I pulled that off the floor and set it right next to the vacuum by the car wash.
Oh.
And then when I was done, I drove in, washed my car, and left.
I think you forgot about it.
If anybody found a 10-round, you'll know it's mine because it's got Winchester Western 37-grain hollow points. It's filled to the brim with 10 of them. So now I only got one magazine, and now I got to get another one.
I went on Ruger's site a while back and bought some of those 25-round clips, and they were only like $35. They weren't expensive at all, you know, right from Ruger.
Yeah, so, yeah, I guess it depends. You might think 35 is expensive. You can get aftermarket ones for like $19 $25. But I guess it's you get what you pay for.
Right, exactly.
Now, Savage, I got a Savage, bought it last year, 22 Magnum, and that came with a 5-round magazine. They have a 10-round magazine for that one, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's about $30. So I've been too cheap to buy. Eventually, I'm going to get a 10-round.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And because I want to have two magazines for each one.
Oh, yeah, you should. Yeah,
I really
always
should. Now, here's the other problem I had. I've got a 760 pump Remington 3006, which I've had for years. And it's been flawless. And the last time I used it was shooting a deer through that marsh, a running buck through the marsh in Sparta. Big buck jumped him up in front of me. It was flying towards my friend Scott, and I hosed it down with 3 shots. That's the last time I've used that rifle. But I had 2 clips, and they have a 4-round, four rounds clip, or magazine is the correct term. I used to always call them clips.
I know. Yeah.
So I was kind of looking at it, and the one magazine that's in it comes in and out easily. So I grabbed the other one, the backup one, and I put it in, and it's like, takes it a lot of effort to try and pull it out. It like gets jammed in there. So I thought, well, I don't want this. You know, if you're shooting at something and you want to pop one magazine out and put another one in. So I ordered a brand new magazine from Remington for like $35. Do you realize I got that new magazine? It does the same thing. It just jams up in
there.
Really? So I've only got one magazine that works.
That's smooth.
Yeah. Yep, magazine problems this week.
Well, I'll tell you what, after this break, when we come back, I'll tell you my story of woe. I got a woe. As a matter of fact, folks, if you got a story of woe, we'll listen to it. You just got to call us.
Whatever your problems are.
Yeah, 799-1250. 799-1250. We'll be right back with more.
Welcome back, Skipper Buds, Cutting Edge Outdoors, money, yeah. Tom nor I have none of it.
Before I tell you my story of woe, I thought we had somebody on the line. No, okay, well, anyway, we got this email from Adam, regular listener. He said, there is an antique and collectible fishing tackle show in Brookfield next weekend at the Sheridan at 375 South Moreland Road. Buy and sell and trade all of your old fishing junk. Attached is a picture with some showtimes for January 17th and 18th. National Fishing Lures Collectors Club is sponsoring the event. Hey, it's something to do since there isn't any ice on the lakes. Have a great day. And then he says, P.S. I think I have pinpointed the origins of the CWD outbreak. It was discovered shortly after Yogi Komarski traveled out west. I think he was doing this a horn swoggle there.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
But anyway, so yeah, these, I've been at one time.
I think they used to pair that up right after the Muskie show years ago.
Yeah, this antique collectible show. Now, this might be, I was at one time with the antique collectors guys, and it was really interesting. There were a lot of booths. You could buy a booth, a table and sell your stuff. Now, it's different than, let's say, when Lunkers has their rummage sale, and I think there's some other clubs that have their rummage sales. You know, then it's just, you know, local Joe selling their different lures, you know, getting rid of them.
The only thing with those antique collectible clubs, talk about playing poker. You know, any old lure that you bring in, that ain't worth anything. It's got scratch. There's lots of those, okay?
Yeah.
And anything they have is like gold.
Yeah, exactly.
And they want a fortune for it.
Yep,
and I think the whole time they're telling you, I'll give you $5. I think they're trying to give you the biggest poker face there is.
Years ago, I knew a guy who was into that stuff. And every time somebody would say, okay, I got this lure, that lure, some old lure, he'd say, eh, that's about $5.
Yeah, it's about $5.
And if he could buy that sucker, he would, and he'd sell it for a lot more. Well, anyway, you know what my story of woe? Oh, by the way, if you're interested in going to this.
So I go look at the old lures, but I wouldn't buy any of them.
Yeah, just go to
because he
National,
got it for $5 and he's selling it to you for $100.
Yeah, just go to National Fishing Lures Collectors Club. They'll have all the information on their website.
Okay.
Here's my story of woe.
Okay, what's your
for story? Years? Now I don't know how you guys feel about fruitcakes. People would use them as doorstops, you know, or whatever. I mean, everybody make fun of them, right?
When they ran out of cannonballs during the Civil War, they used fruitcakes instead.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I, on the other hand, I liked fruit. I still do. I like fruitcakes. I always did. And I would get one from somebody. Somebody, like my mother-in-law would give me one at Christmas time, whatever. The last two Christmases, I have not had, nobody gave me a fruitcake. And it's like, I would really like a fruitcake.
Do they even make fruit
yeah,
cakes?
You know, that's another thing. Normally at the local stores.
Didn't they have them like all wrapped up?
Yeah.
And they were like one of those. They were one of those last minute gifts nobody thought about. So they thought, I got to get them something. Oh, I'll just grab this fruitcake here.
Yeah, they're heavy too.
Well, yeah, that's
they're heavy. That's why they could be used as cannonballs.
Boat anchors.
Yeah, boat anchors. But I liked them. And so this year I was looking in the stores. My wife and I would go up out to the different stores and I'm looking for fruitcakes, right? Never found any. I never saw anybody any place. I was just kind of, do they still make them and sell them? Maybe not.
Why would you call?
I might have to make my own.
How about, why did they call people a fruitcake then? Like you called a crazy person, he's a fruitcake?
Because he's got a lot of nuts in him. He's nuts.
Maybe that's it.
I don't know.
Maybe. So I got a tale of success though.
Okay, well that's good.
Here's my tale of success. I took out my Ruger 10/22 with that 10-round now missing magazine, and I went out squirrel hunting last Saturday after the show.
Oh, okay.
And I was quietly going through the snow, and guess what? Not a whole lot of squirrel tracks around, not much. Saw one gray squirrel take off running. Then hour or so later, as I'm stalking through the woods, finally I get to a spot where I see some tracks and some digging in the snow, so I know some of the wily little tree rats have been around, and I spot a fox squirrel, big fox squirrel, running along the ground, and he's about 30, 35 yards away, and he sees me, so he's running, but he's giving me the side eye as he's, you know, going, where he kind of stops, but he won't sit still, they're so hyper. So anyway, as it's running, I'm following it in a scope, so I get up, and I kind of try and lean against the tree, I'm following it, it pauses for a split second, I swing to the head and bang, the rifle goes off without me even consciously pulling the trigger. I drilled it right through the head. Remember,
really?
I got that new trigger on it?
Yeah.
BX-22
right?
trigger.
Yep.
So it's so light that as I swung the crosshairs to its head, the old trigger pull, I'd have to really be squeezing.
Yeah.
I had subconscious, I was already going into my trigger squeeze.
Sure.
And as soon as it hit the head, bang, I drilled that thing.
Speaking of that.
So I highly recommend that trigger for your Ruger 10/22.
Okay, Sam, I gotta ask you something. If you can look in your archives, there's a piece. I don't know what Bodie saved it. It was a piece about me touching Dan's trigger. That was so funny. I don't know if you had people mention it to you, but people mentioned to me that how if you heard it just walking in without what the preliminary stuff was, that you'd think this was one weird show.
Well, it is weird. That's when I had it in a package. And you
can't find it?
You were
not
messing
in there?
Around trying to...
Okay.
I do have to apologize. Oh,
never mind.
I thought you were messing with it. And then I did read the package later, and I think it did let you actually reach and try it.
Yeah, and pull the trigger.
Yeah. But I thought
you were hollering at me.
Yeah, I thought
don't touch my trigger.
I thought you were going to wreck it by... But anyway,
that was hilarious.
It works. And then I pulled off. Well, then I screwed up. So I spotted, I stayed right there, sat down. I thought, okay, I got this one. I'm going to see if another one comes out. Sure enough, a gray squirrel comes out about 20 minutes later. And it's looking at me and won't sit still. It goes up a tree, down a tree. And then it starts coming right towards me.
Huh.
They're curious sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Now I'm thinking it won't sit still. And every time I go to it, And now I'm thinking, uh-oh, it's going to get too close. And with the scope, Tom, I'm like...
Oh, you're not going to see it.
Well, yeah. I'll see it. But here's the thing. Your scope is mounted typically an inch and a half high above the barrel.
Yeah. And if it's too close...
You're going to shoot low.
Yeah.
Because the barrel, think about it, Tom. The barrel is actually below the scope. So actually... It eventually intersects where the barrel is, you know, whatever, the crosshairs are kind of, whatever, kind of will intersect where it is, I guess, adjusted down. The barrel is adjusted up where point of aim will intersect at a certain point.
I think that's called event horizon.
So, whatever. But anyway, sure enough, the thing ran so close, I put it on it and shot right under it from about, I don't know, 5 yards away. And I'm thinking,
geez, yeah.
But then it ran off to the tree I first spotted in, and I waited half an hour, and I'm thinking, it's gone. But before I left, Tom, I walked over to that tree, and sure enough, I spotted the wily little fella. And so then I played the old circle the tree game with it, where it's going around to the other side of the tree.
Yeah.
And then I spotted way up near the top, and all I could see is like half the side of his body. But if I go around the tree more, he's going to shift more.
Yeah.
So remember that trick I told you where you can...
You throw something on the other side?
Well, you can do that. Okay. But I did the old one I read about in the magazine. It was a Field and Stream magazine years ago, and it showed some old guy from down south. With his technique, where if you got to shoot straight up.
Oh, laying on your back?
You lay flat on your back.
Yeah.
Cross your left leg over your right. Rest the forend of your firearm right there. Now, the only thing is you got to kind of pull your neck. You got to be a great athlete like me to pull it off. You got to have neck muscles. Because you got to kind of pull your head up off the ground to see through the scope.
Right.
But the rifle's kind of resting dead on you, so there's really no shake. And I drilled that sucker.
You did.
Yep, pulled it off again.
Wow.
I'm so glad I read about that method, because otherwise, there's no real good way to try and shoot straight up.
Yeah, when you're straight up, accurately,
I'm talking
tough.
Straight up.
That would be very
difficult.
The old
on your back technique.
Wow.
Yep, so I got both of them.
Well, we got one more segment coming up, Danny, and... Well, I don't know. We're going to have to figure out what we're going to talk about. But if you got anything that you got questions or comments, 799-1250, 414-799-1250.
Or a fishing report.
Yeah. Now, I'm turning off my computer, so don't send me an email right now. I'm turning it off for the day.
You've done your job. You've earned your money for the day, Tom.
Yeah. All 5 cents or whatever we get, ten cents, whatever. All right. We're going to be right back here. You're listening to 105.7 FM, The Fan.
The final countdown.
All right.
All right.
We're back. Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. And on the line, we've got fishing guide and friend Paul Mihalik. And how you doing, Paul?
Good morning, Paul.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. Hey, we figured we'd just get a hold of you because if anybody has a finger on the pulse of the ice fishing or lack thereof in the area, I figured it's you because you normally go Madison area all over. Have you been able to get out? What's going on out there?
Well, I'm a little ornery right now. I had rotator cuff surgery about a month ago, so I'm confined to the exercise chair for a couple more weeks.
That's got to really be, probably worse on your wife, huh?
My wife is a saint. She's a saint.
She's probably probably trying to get you out the door to do something. Oh my gosh.
Right. But I did get out, you know, when I put the boat away, I did get out a couple of trips out in Madison and caught some fish out there. You know, we had that wonderful cold weather, and then we got the warm up that, missed everything. And now, but we got some Arctic air coming down later next week. So, you know, by the time I'm ready to go in a couple of weeks, hopefully things will be good.
Yeah.
Well, maybe for you then, it's not so bad that it's warm. It doesn't make you feel as bad because you're like, well, gee, I can't get out anyway.
You know,
exactly. So if there was a perfect time that everything just sort of fell into place, you know, it was just, I had to get it done. It was keeping me up. And so, you know, it has to get done sometimes, and it's not good. But
rumor has it, Paul, that you hurt your rotator cuff from catching all those big fish this fall.
It's happened a long time. That it's just 64 years of hard use. That's what that is. I mean,
was it your right shoulder or left shoulder?
It's my right shoulder.
The right one? And you're right-handed, yeah. I suppose.
Oh, sure.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Wouldn't it always have to be like that, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, it's, you know, better that than something more serious, you know.
So what are you looking forward to once we start getting ice?
I'm seeing what's going to happen now. We're going to go, you know, we're going to have some cold weather coming. We're going to get a, you know, probably a shallow water bite for a little bit, and then we're going just into those midwinter doldrums that you're going to have to start fishing, you know, deeper breaks and stuff, you know, as midwinter gets going, and that's what's going to probably happen. Well, we probably should have, you know, a week or two of, you know, a shallow water bite before they start skedaddling a little deeper.
I know you do a lot of pan fishing. Do you target walleyes at all?
I do when, what I've been finding the last couple of years, is these walleyes, they're roaming these deep basins, during the daytime, right with the panfish, and we catch walleyes now and then fishing the deeper water.
Okay. How about as far as pike? Do you do any tip-up fishing then, later?
When I do pike fishing, I target, more or less the, you know, deeper weed edges, and then as we get closer to spring, then I'll go in a little bit shallower, you know, to, you know, where their spawning grounds are going to happen, you know, a month or two later from that. And then, yeah, I like my pike fishing too.
Then I know, you know, how years ago you took me out to Delavan and we had a great day pike fishing out there. How is that for pike now? Is that still good or what?
It's still very good fishery, you know, and what people don't realize, like in the summer months or, you know, these pike aren't where you see them catch, you know, chasing the bluegills and crappies in the spring. Pike, they like that, you know, unlike a muskie, you know, they like a deep cold water, you know, where the muskie, you know, the muskie likes it too, but not like a pike, you know. We catch pike out in some of these bodies of water, you know, 20 to 25, sometimes even 30 feet, you know, they like that deep cold water.
Well, I remember you and I were working like 25 feet of water, working down deep with some big plastics, and we were just dredging them up, cast out, let it sink on down deep, and just work that bait back. And it was amazing. We were getting the pike. They were there.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of guys, too, they'll use like a sucker hook and put, you know, suckers out in that deep water and run those deep breaks, and they do pretty well, too. But, you know, it's a lot harder in the summer to keep those suckers alive. You know, they got to put ice in their live wells to, you know, keep them from dying, you know. But they catch them that way, too. But I just prefer casting if I can.
Hey, Paul, I got to ask you, have you ever used a bluegill for the pike?
We have.
And cut the tail off?
Yeah, so. and when we did that sort of going into fall where the pike, you know, they make that move a little shallower.
Yeah.
We cast our spinner baits or, you know, rubber, and then we put a bluegill out too.
Yeah, it sometimes works. Yeah.
Hey, years ago.
Oh, it does work.
Yeah.
I think years ago when you and I were on Delavan, middle of the summer there, you told me at that time that you'd seen some decent-sized muskies out there. What's going on out there as far as muskies?
They did plant some muskies out there a number of years ago, and I heard they were the Leech Lake strain of muskie. And I know I was out there with my son one time fishing, and we had one come up. We were casting rubber, and we were dragging a live bait too. And we came, and that muskie came right in on the rubber and was eyeing up the, you know, the sucker next to the boat. Yeah, this was like early fall, and that fish, it was 55 inches. If it was an inch, it was a big fish. I mean,
a monster.
It was huge.
How about
they don't get that many out. You know, there's some in there, but it's not a musky fishery per se.
Right.
Like, you know, Geneva, they've been planted.
That was my next question.
That's going to be the next good lake to really target for muskies.
Yeah, are they still planting Geneva, or was it just a one-time thing? Or what's...
No, I heard they were still planting out there, and I know I hear they're catching fish into the mid-40s now.
And I'm sure it's probably kept pretty quiet, though. I'm thinking that if that all of a sudden takes off, it'll be kind of a hush-hush thing for a while till the news gets out.
Yeah, and that's a body of water, a little like a Okotch. You know, there's a lot of steep breaks, and, you know, there's a trout in there. So it's a whole different forage that these muskies are eating out there, too.
You know, I know you don't troll, but that might be the next frontier for somebody who likes to troll for muskies, say, like I do on Pewaukee, you guys do on Okotchee. That would be a way to target some of those big fish on those deep breaks. And you could,
the bonus
is you could get a giant northern there as well.
Or a big trout.
or this time of the year, and they
big
might even be doing big walleye.
Yeah,
they troll out there the late fall, even into the winter, for these big walleye out there too.
Yeah, yeah, and I guess the time to fish Geneva though is either now during the winter if you can, spring when all the pleasure boaters aren't out.
Oh yeah,
or at night or weekdays. You got to pick your spots accordingly there.
Yeah, I don't look at it after Memorial Day, and generally not then. If I do it at all, it'll be after Labor Day. It gets pretty crazy out there.
Yeah, well, that's one of those lakes where if you're going to go there during the week is the best if you can, you know.
And foul weather, too.
Yeah, you can do that. Well, Paul, thanks for spending a few minutes with us. We appreciate it.
No problem, guys. You guys take it easy.
Yeah, all right. I hope you heal up quickly.
Yeah, rehab that shoulder. You need those big hook sets on the muskies this spring.
That's it. I'll be ready.
All righty, buddy. Thanks, Paul.
See you, Paul.
Okay, bye now.
Yeah, Paul Mihalik. He's not guiding right now, but if you
rehabbing a shoulder.
Yeah, if you do have a question about Paul's phone number or anything, I always have that. You can always email me at ceoguys@yahoo.com, and I'll get you that phone number for Paul.
He kind of does the multi-species thing.
Yeah,
so that's
he does.
The thing. So he'll do musky, but if somebody wants to just take some kids out, sometimes I'll just give them Paul's number.
Yep. Then they do a great job out there. So,
you know what else I got to do soon, Tom?
What's that?
I got to go out to the Waukesha Gun Club and shoot some trap or clays or something. I met a guy out there, Tom out there, about a year ago. I met him at a fishery, and he invited us out there, and We've never gotten out there, but I want to get out there and do some shooting sometime.
That would be, sounds like a lot of fun. And if you can't go outdoors right now, there's always indoor places to tune up a little bit on your handguns. So
yeah, WCTC has a good range. So
I got nothing else, Danny, until next week.
That's all I got.
I just hope I get home alive.
To all the listeners, thanks for listening. And God bless and stay free, everyone.
You've been listening to Skibberbud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Drive safe, my friends. Go Pack.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.